702.
Health and Wellness.
It's Health and Wellness on 702, 25 minutes to 12 o'clock. Tabo in for Clement. We're together till 12, 25 minutes to go. And on Health and Wellness, as you know, we touch on various important issues. But today we are looking at meningitis and how it can be treated, and the prevalence of meningitis in South Africa. How widespread is it? How much do we know about it? Its impact on us as a society. It could be that you suffered from meningitis and you're suffering from meningitis and you need some bit of heads up. You want to share your experiences. You want to have a word with us on meningitis. Please feel free to do that. 011-883-0702. I can't overly emphasize how important it is to just speak and share issues, especially on a safe space such as ours, because it could be that someone else is listening and they're unable to call and you are truly representing them. And they refer to meningitis as an inflammation of the protective membranes covering the brain and spinal cord. So a bacterial and viral infection of the fluid surrounding the brain and spinal cord usually causes the swelling. And however, it's also argued that injuries, cancer, certain drugs and other types of infections can also cause meningitis. Let's find out more about its prevalence in South Africa as we talk to Deirdre Fredericks, the founder of Meningitis Association of South Africa. Masa, Deirdre, thanks for your time. Welcome to 702. Good morning.
Good morning, Tabu. How are you? Nice to meet you.
Pleased to meet you too. I'm well. I'm free. I'm happy to be talking to you. And I'd like to understand a little bit about meningitis. And I'm sure you'll share with us as well what Meningitis Association of South Africa does, because that's also important. I tried to give somewhat of a textbook impression of what or definition of what meningitis is. But please feel free to be a bit lateral on that as well.
Yes, thank you, Tabu, and you were spot on. So what is meningitis? Meningitis is a serious infection of the meninges, the membranes covering the brain and the spinal cord, and it is a devastating disease. And there is where I want to talk about how I started the organization about meningitis. It happened 14 years ago where my little girl, she was only 3 years old, and she died of meningitis.
I'm sorry.
And it only took 18 hours. And I haven't talked about it in a long time.
No worries, take your time. And, I'm terribly sorry about that ordeal. Yes. I'm sure for a parent it must be devastating. I'm sorry about that.
It was devastating. And if I in South Africa, it was a very important day back in 2010 in South Africa. It was the morning of the World Cup, FIFA World Cup.
Mm.
We all remember that morning in 2010, you know.
Certainly.
We were excited. And I remember at that time I was working in corporate, and we were all, my colleagues were all dressed up, and we had the vuvuzelas and everything. And then we as a family, we were devastated because we were at the hospital and we lost our daughter. So that is my story about meningitis.
And there was a bit of a pause. You know, us on radio, when there's a pause, we have to jump in quickly. So I don't want to interrupt your story. Please feel free to go ahead.
No, I also just want to tell you that at this moment I'm in China. So if there is a pause, please just give it a few minutes.
Sure.
At that moment at that hospital, I remember I wanted answers, and it was almost like nobody could give me those answers. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started the organization. But because for me as a mother, I wanted to help others, you know, because it was such a devastating event for our family. And I was sure we weren't the only family at that time. And still not the only family.
Sure.
So, coming back to your question about the prevalence, you know, of meningitis in South Africa. In South Africa, the annual incident rate of meningitis is estimated to be 4 per 100,000 cases. But remember, these are confirmed cases. In majority, like you said, I think you said earlier, sometimes we don't even know that it is the disease, because maybe of we just, like any disease, we are not health professionals, the man on the street. We're not a health professional, so we don't even know, is it meningitis or is it not meningitis? Yes.
Yeah. No.
So that's my story, sure. And that's the intro of meningitis. Yes.
Yeah. It's a very interesting story, and I'm terribly saddened about your deal as well. I'm sorry to hear that, and I'm just happy that you created something that could benefit others as well from your episode with meningitis. Let's speak about its prevalence and also what kind of meningitis would be there for people like me who know very little about meningitis. Do we have different types in South Africa?
Yes.
And how do they manifest themselves?
Yes, so in South Africa, or meningitis, we've got types. We've got TB meningitis, bacterial meningitis, and the prevalent forms of meningitis followed by cryptococcal. So cryptococcal meningitis is more with the HIV related, and then obviously we all heard about viral meningitis. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, you were just talking about cryptomeningitis. So,
cryptomeningitis. So again, meningitis, how is it caused? It is caused by bacteria, viruses, fungi, parasites, and non-infectious means such as cancer or lupus as well. And if we talk about how is it spread, the most serious form of meningitis is the bacterial meningitis. And many people carry meningitis bacteria in their nose and their throat. And I remember years ago, that was a shocker to me, that many of us, we are carrying this bacteria in our nose and our throats. And these bacteria usually cause no harm and help to build the immunity against infections. And only on a rare occasion do the bacteria cause the disease. The bacteria spread from one person is infectious. So we know that it spreads from one person to another person through respiratory droplets, example by coughing and close contact, like kissing or,
that's
how it is spread.
Yeah. I was just wondering, Deirdre, in your organization, Meningitis Association of South Africa, how, as a community, are you helping others, and what sort of interactions do you get from communities, from people who have meningitis on a day-to-day basis? How do you assist, and what is the core functioning of this association?
Yes, so years back when I started it, I mentioned before, I couldn't get a lot of answers, so I reached out to the world. I wanted to know what was going on, and I reached out to the Confederation of Meningitis Organization, and this is a global organization. And at that time, my organization, the Meningitis Organization of South Africa, we were the first African organization that became a member of the global organization. So my help with the organization, I work with the global organization, and we are over 200 members around the world. Actually last year June, I had the privilege, after many years, we had COVID a few years back and we couldn't travel. I had the privilege to, I was at a global conference in London last year June, and where I met, at this point we have more African organizations that is, we are working together to defeat meningitis.
Yeah.
So my help on, or our organization help comes from what I have the help of the global organization.
And that must come in handy,
also,
hey?
Yes. It is very handy in South Africa. I mean, I only know so much. Like I said, I'm not a healthcare professional. I'm just the mother who lost the child. So they've been my my support over these years. And it's like a community. They were my community.
Sure.
And my goal is to bring that community to South Africa, you know, to be there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Deirdre, yes, and I'm sure there are mothers out there who are listening to their parents, sisters, nephews, and everyone else who would like to find out how did you deal with the suffering of your late child's suffering as far as meningitis is concerned. And they may want a little bit of insight, if you will, just to help them know how to identify whether this is meningitis or not. Of course, one would need to go to a health practitioner, but also how at home, as far as home is concerned, what did you do exactly to try to give your child a bit of comfort? But all of that, I'm going to ask you after a break. I need to take a break and then I'm going to come back to you and ask you to respond to that. It's
702
Health and Wellness.
We're speaking about meningitis on 702 Health and Wellness. Thabo in for Clement, together with you up until 12. And on meningitis, my guest is Deirdre Fredericks, founder Meningitis Association of South Africa. 011-883-0702. Veronica, thanks for calling. Good morning to you.
Hi,
Veronica.
Morning. I just wanted to mention I had a little girl in 1978. She had meningitis as well. She was 4 months old, and she got pneumonia, and she actually passed away a week later with pneumococcal meningitis. She was taken to hospital in Cape Town.
Oh no, so Veronica.
They kept her on the machine for a whole week.
Oh no.
So anyway.
Veronica, I'm so sorry about
anyway,
that.
I'm just thankful that in 1981, I actually had another little girl, and I'm so thankful for that.
I'm glad that you called and to speak to us. And I think that's why Meningitis Association of South Africa exists, so that there could be a community of people like you who are wounded about this experience. But how do you grow from it, and how do you become better for it? Veronica, I'm terribly sorry about your daughter.
It actually makes you a stronger person. What I just wanted to mention quickly, is there meningitis going around in the air now? Because I'm living in a retirement home, and we've just had a man here of 71 nearly of age. He passed away about 5 weeks ago of meningitis. So is it going around in the air? Because it sounds quite scary.
It is. Let's find out. It could be that our guest, Deirdre Fredericks, knows something about it. Veronica, thanks for calling. Really appreciate it. Much strength to you. And we are sending our love and comfort to you at this point. Deirdre, I don't know if you'd like to say something to Veronica.
Yes, sure. Veronica, I am deeply sorry. My heart is going out to you. You know, I know exactly. I know exactly. Oh, it is devastating. This is such a devastating disease. And for years, and I'm telling you still, people don't want to actually talk about it. But yes, this is the reason why I founded an organization. For me, it's not about the organization. It's about the community to support each other, you know. It's a devastating disease. Like I said, my daughter died within 18 weeks. Veronica's daughter died within a week. It is just unheard of.
Do you know, Deirdre, whether it's children who are more prone to meningitis than adults?
Children, they are children. Their immune system is still very,
fragile.
Yes, fragile. Sorry, my heart is with my Veronica, so
yeah. No worries.
Yeah, and it is more, you know, more our children. And I also want to say, if you are a survivor of meningitis, sometimes 20 to 30% of survivors, they left with a disability, you know, and that is also a very sad part of meningitis, because it attacks the, you know, the brain and the spinal cord. Veronica's question about meningitis going around in South Africa, you know, I think it is just, like I said before, it's a disease, it's always there. You know, when COVID hit a few years back, it was almost to me like I was experiencing, it's not, I know it's not the same, but it was almost like for me, it's just there. It's just the, how do I say now? Sorry, affection that is there. But we have to be so careful. And that's why I want to talk about the symptoms of meningitis, because you asked before, how did I know? So my daughter was at the daycare, and the daycare at that time contacted me. And then they said she had a high fever. And immediately I went to the daycare and I took my daughter home. I gave her, you know, we've got paracetamol and we are mothers. We've got medication at home. So I gave her medication. But then after a few hours, she was just so lethargic and I could see she wasn't herself. Luckily for me, my hospital was 5 minutes around the corner. So I took her immediately to the hospital. And when we got to the hospital, before we took her to the hospital, she's vomiting. And when she started vomiting, I said at that time to my husband, we have to take her to the hospital. There's something wrong. And when we took her to the hospital, and obviously the hospital then done some tests, I remember when they undressed her, they saw the rash. And then they said to me, these are symptoms of meningitis. So I just want to go through the symptoms of meningitis. I mentioned before, it's a high fever, being sick, a headache, a rash, a stiff neck, dislike of bright lights and drowsiness. And then also, and I remember this also happened to my daughter when she was at the hospital, this happened, she had seizures. So these are the symptoms of meningitis.
And that is very, very helpful. Let me just take some voice notes from some of our listeners on 072-702-1702.
Good morning. Your listeners might be interested to know that it's not only humans that get meningitis, but also dogs and animals. We've just had a little one go through, and apparently there are three different types of meningitis. Cut a long story short, ours had viral meningitis, and we very nearly lost him. Fortunately, he's on the road to recovery, but it's a really harsh illness.
Quite interesting there, Deirdre.
Very, 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 you know, we always think it's just humans. And to be honest with you, this is actually the first time I'm hearing this. You know, I didn't know.
Sure.
And that is why awareness is so important. You know, we have to share, and so that we can, now we know about, you know, animals as well.
Sure.
So awareness is very, very important.
Sure. Mm. Well, what I'm going to do, Deirdre, is ask for your contact details. How can people get hold of you in a short while? But first, let's hear what other listeners have to say.
Hi, Thabo. The medical doctor, the best thing you can do to prevent deadly meningitis is to get vaccinated. The two types of meningitis that are particularly bad are called streptococcal and meningococcal meningitis, and both of those can be prevented by a vaccine. So anyone who is at risk of those two types of meningitis, and that's particularly travelers who go to very crowded areas like Mecca during the Hajj, for example, elderly people are at high risk of streptococcal meningitis, certain people who have had certain operations like spleen removal are at risk of streptococcal meningitis. All of those people should get vaccinated, and it is preventable. Both of those types of meningitis can kill you within 24 hours of contracting it. So they are extremely deadly, and but they are preventable. That's the message.
It's a very clear message. Yes. Highly appreciated, Doctor. And as you say goodbye, please don't forget to give us your contact details. We have about 30 seconds remaining, Deirdre.
Okay. Yes. Well, at this moment, like I said, I am in China, so I'm going to give you my Gmail account if that is okay.
That's fine.
So it will be my name. It's okay. My name is Deidre, Deidre dot Fredericks at gmail.com.
Perfect. Perfect. And I wish you the very best.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And I hope that we can chat to you again in the near future. Thanks, Deidre. Fredericks, founder, Meningitis Association of South Africa.